Either David B. compulsive eater, sugar addict.
David.
Okay. Well, you know, okay. As usual, as I'm driving over, I'm thinking, I don't have much to share. I'm just going to sit there and listen. And I find that that's a really helpful way for me to get to a meeting without any stress or anxiety. Because I've found over all these years, and there's been many, many years, and hundreds, thousands of meetings, probably, believe it or not. And by far, let me just say this. I am so far from perfect right now in this program. It's not even funny, but first of all, I have found that never giving up and always having hope that you can be in recovery is really gigantic, I have found. Because there's times when, you know, I've kind of disconnected from God and disconnected from the meetings. And that is a really hopeless, demoralizing, miserable place to be. It is a very painful place to be. I probably share that with a lot of people here. So the thing that occurs to me is I don't want to die. I really don't want to die. And I know that if I give up, I will die without question. I will die. And it won't be pleasant because, in my opinion, this is a very, very, very difficult disease to recover from. You know, I drank my share in my 20s and 30s, and I didn't even know anything about Alcoholics Anonymous, and I never considered myself an alcoholic. I thought I was just having fun and partying. But looking back, man, I was drinking clearly like an alcoholic. But I found it at some point. I'll tell a story. I mean, I remember being in a bar. I'm from Chicago, and we used to go out drinking all the time. And it was like, I'm not kidding, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, everyone else went home and I'm in the bar by myself. And I was pretty, pretty, pretty wasted at the time. And I remember thinking to myself, you know, I felt really comfortable and at peace, but I knew why. It was because I was really inebriated. And the thought occurred to me, I remember the moment I thought to myself, and this was a long time ago. This is 30 years ago, well before I discovered recovery. But I remember thinking to myself, you know, there must be a way to feel this way without having to take a substance of some sort. And it took me many years before I stumbled into a recovery program. But I, you know, jumping ahead, well, the answer is the 12 steps of recovery. And the answer is connection to God, because we can't do this without God or without our higher power, without something greater than ourselves. And that's really, to this day, that's how I really motivate to come to meetings and to, I don't know, to say yes when someone asks me to do something. And the journey is not simple. It takes a lot of work. I do remember my first 12-step meeting when I walked in and I heard the speaker speaking. I'm telling you, this girl... This was another food program. It was CEA How, Compulsive Eaters Anonymous, which was my first really 12-step program. And this girl, she was speaking, and every word like resonated. And it was like, holy crap, this is what I have. I have this thing, because I grew up with all kinds of anxiety in the past. I used to, believe this or not, I was the shyest baby. I was the shyest child you could ever imagine. I was petrified in school that a teacher would call me and I'd have to talk. I swear, I even went to graduate school. I don't think I raised my hand one time. I was so shy and scared. And I didn't want to be that way. That was painful. And I have to tell you, when I walked into that meeting and this girl was speaking, I didn't even know how it was my answer, but this is 20 years ago, 25 years ago. I really didn't understand anything that was going on, except I knew that what she was talking is what I had. And so I ran out of there. I kind of freaked out. I was like, oh my God. And I ran out. And then I thought to myself, they said, get a sponsor. I didn't even know what that meant. So I ran back in and I just grabbed somebody. And I said, you know, I think I need a sponsor. And oh my gosh, I mean, let me tell you something. If I didn't run back in, who knows? I don't even know where I'd be today, honestly, if I didn't w run back in. So, it's been a long journey. Anyway, the first abstinence was by far the easiest and the best because they just told me what to do and I just did it. And this program was very stricter program. You weighed and measured your food, you called your sponsor, you did all these things very structured, which to me worked really well. So that was by far my best abstinence. And I actually went years. I went many years. And I gotta tell you, to this day, the more the tools that I use, the more likely I'm going to achieve the promises, which is to be happy, joyous, and free. I know this thing works, and it's not really that hard. It's just the willingness to actually do these simple things, but they're not easy to do because we have this disease that will not relent. It just doesn't go away, guys. I'm telling you. The minute I stopped doing what worked, okay, fine. You can hold on to that recovery, but it's like taking chemo, I think. I never took chemo, but I'm thinking, you could take your cancer treatment and, it could be in remission, it could be in remission, it could be in remission, but then you stop taking it. It's going to come back, and it's not going to be pretty. So that's been my journey, and it's kind of an overused word maybe, but it kind of is. It kind of is a journey. Okay, so fast forward. So 2 years ago or so, I was in Santa Monica actually, and it was so automatic. I would go to 5 or 6 meetings a week, and I would lead the meetings. I would do all this stuff. And then when COVID shut down these in-person meetings and everyone's freaking out, and it was like kind of a disaster because it completely disrupted my routine. Then I moved out here and it's much harder for me to get into the groove. Anyway, long story short, plus I bought a house and it was like I was overwhelmed and had to move my business and everything else. Long story short, it ceased to become the most important thing in my life, which is kind of understandable because when you got these other things you got to kind of do, but you also need to go to your meetings, but you got to have to kind of do these. I mean, I'm the last one that wants to make excuses, honestly. So I take responsibility for that. But the point is, it was very hard to get back into the groove. So the relapse came. I had the hardest relapse ever. I mean, it was really serious. Like I couldn't stop binging. I could not stop eating sugar. And I'm a major sugar addict and food addict, actually. So somehow, like I said, it occurred to me, and God speaks to us if we're able to listen. And I tell you, I'm laying at home in bed. I'm talking to God. I'm saying, God, I don't want to die. You could choose to die, of course. And some people, maybe they really do want to leave, but I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave. So somehow he spoke, and I don't know, it might be a year now. I don't remember, but I think it was my first meeting back, and I think it was a Sunday. And there was like nobody here. There's like one, I think Susan was here.
Yeah.
And it was me and her, and it was like, well, I really came here for a meeting. So we had this great, someone else walked in. We had a really nice meeting, honestly. And that was really a turning point, kind of was. So I've been coming to this meeting, and there's a Thursday meeting to go to. And but I'm far from perfect, guys. But the point is, I know what's possible. And I know there's zero hope if I don't come. Zero. And I know if I just show up, I just show up. That's all I have to do, honestly. I plan to sit there and listen. I always just plan to sit there and listen. And that's all I know I need to do. And God takes care of the rest. God, your higher power, whatever you want to believe, really will take care of the rest if you have the willingness. And the other thing that is really important to me with this whole recovery thing is helping other people. It's really, really important because I couldn't stand here right now if I wasn't thinking, I'm scared, I don't want to do this, but I might say something that might help somebody. And I think God puts us here to help other people. I know that's part of why I'm here, because none of this could happen. My recovery couldn't happen. I mean, I think the 12 steps is a freaking unbelievable gift from God, honestly. And somehow it was written by humans. But that book is amazing, and I've read it, and I highly recommend reading it. And recently, when you've been in the program a long time, you keep hearing the same thing over and over, and you kind of gloss over it. But lately, I'm rereading the first three steps, and that's my biggest problem is you forget the first three steps. I do. I forget the first three steps. Somehow you don't think you're powerless. I don't never want to think I'm powerless over anything because I'm so capable and I can do this, I can do that, and just let me do it. But this I cannot do myself. As much as I try, as hard as I had something trying to convince me that I don't need to go to program, I don't need any of this stuff, I can just stop eating. No, I can't. Okay. It's insane, actually. I cannot stop eating on my own. I'm powerless. And I think that is one of my biggest problems is I forget. And the reason I was doing so well before was because you're not allowed to forget. If you go to five meetings a week, if you listen to other people, if you do the program, I think for me, it's impossible for me to forget that I'm a compulsive eater, which is why going to the meeting and knowing that that's all you have to do is go to the meetings and stay connected to the program. Again, this is just my experience. I won't forget that I'm a compulsive eater and I'm powerless over food. So, I don't know if I have any time left, but I don't think I have anything else to say, except that's my experience, and I'm sticking to it. So, I don't know. Thank you. That's all I have to say.